10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Y'all, hey, what's going on out there? Happy Monday to you, and welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and I hope y'all are having a great day. I'm telling you, even though it's a little rainy, a little cloudy outside, I tell you what, it's still a great day, that's for sure. So how's everybody weekend? Everybody had a nice weekend? I hope so. Hope you got out and did some things with the loved ones, the family. Or just by yourself, just got out the house, period. Because, you know, sometimes we get stuck in the house and we don't know what we're doing because we just stuck in the house. So hopefully y'all got out and enjoyed yourself a little bit. Yes. Well, before I go any further, let me bring in my lovely co-host, Sister Ngoni. Sister Ngoni, how you doing?
I'm good, Mr. Talk. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Oh, you're welcome. I want to say greetings to everyone out there in the audience and all the listeners.
Yeah.
So they can't say anything back, but I just want to say hey.
I'm sure somebody said, hey, and we're waving in care and all.
I know one person is.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that's
like
my
good friend,
Antoinette.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Antoinette, yeah. Antoinette, all, yeah, always.
Yes, indeed.
Always. I want to give a shout-out to Enjoying Life, just joining us in the chat room. Welcome to the show. All right, y'all. Today is Monday, Soapbox Monday, which y'all know means basically open conversation. Wherever we go, we go. However long we stay there, we stay. It's just like that. You know, as long as it's constructive and fun. Of course, we're all about having fun. You know, we got to have our fun, of course. Now, for those out there that want to join in the conversation, just give us a call, 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or come and join us in our wonderful chat room where conversation is always live. Lee. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, and you can join us in the chat room. Knowledge, I see you, my boy. So, yeah. So, those are all the ways you can participate on the show with me and my co-host, Sister Ngoni. And I tell you what, it's going to be a good one. I got that feeling. Oh, Lord have mercy. I think I finally got it right, Sister Ngoni.
You did. How
yeah.
about that?
I know. It only took me 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, right?
Okay. Something about that N and G together just throws people off.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, sometimes we just add our own little, little touches and pronunciation and things. So.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. Benny, I see you. Benny just joined us in the chat room. Also, Bible Truth by Benny. Y'all know what? I made a decision over the weekend, and I'm no longer going to do the house rules. I'm not. Because you've been here long enough, you should already know. I shouldn't. I thought about that. I said, you know, I shouldn't have to keep repeating it over and over and over again. You know, that, you know, takes up unnecessary time, I guess. What you think
about
that, Joe?
Oh, Mr. Talk, what about your new people and expansion?
Well, when the new people come in, you know, we'll see.
You'll shoot them if they break the rule they didn't know about. You'll shoot them, then they'll know about the rules, right?
No. See, because here it is. Usually, if somebody comes in and breaks the rule, the regulars jump on them before I can get to them anyway.
Okay.
So, you know, they know the rules by heart. They know the rules. So, you know, now if by chance somebody actually did that, you know, and they continue to do it, then yeah, they may get the taser the first time. I wouldn't just straight up shoot them, unless they just call in, you know, they're a troll or something, just trying to start some stuff. Then yeah, they got to go. Okay, I'm gonna give a very generic version of the house rules. Then call in, be adult about what you're gonna say. That's all I'm going to say. Act like an adult, okay, because this is an adult show, and adult things are said. If you're sensitive about things, then you may want to stay in the chat room, all right? Because once you put it out there on the panel, hey, you're opening yourself up for whatever. Now, we're not going to let anybody, you know, straight up, you know, disrespect anyone, but hey, you got to take your beat. If you come in swinging, you got to take your beat. That's what happened. That's all I got to say.
That's how we stretch and grow, right, Mr. Talk?
Yeah. That's right.
I didn't mean to step on you.
I'm sorry.
I didn't
what did you say?
Headphones, by the way. I'm going to get on that so this can stop, this stepping.
Oh. No problem. See, Beanie saying, oh, yeah, Bobby Bennett was and not using the N-word. See, they not. See, regulars know, even in the chat room. I will give a shout-out to Truth Will Out. Truth Will Out. That's interesting.
Ottawa.
Huh?
That's Sister Ottawa.
Oh,
welcome.
Okay. Well, hello, sister. How are you? Thank you. Welcome to the show. I don't know. Wesley seems to be having problems. I see him popping in and popping out on the switchboard. So I don't know. But anyway, we want to let them work that in and get the other folk time to get here. So, quote of the day. I got one that's short and sweet, but I know you have one too, Sister Ngoni, right?
Well, that's okay. Let's both do one. How about that?
That's what I was going at because mine's simple. Mine is so simple, you're going to laugh at it. And here it is. My quote of the day is this. I don't even need a drum roll for mine because it's so simple. You can't fix stupid. That's it. That's my quote of the day. You can't fix stupid.
I mean, there it is.
There it is. You just can't. You can try, but you can't. If it's stupid, it's stupid.
You can fix ignorance, but you can't fix stupid. Because ignorance just means to not know.
Stupid. Right.
Mm-hmm. You can fix that one, but stupid, you can't fix that one, right?
No, you can't fix that one because you're just out there. You're just out there.
Now, I find it.
So. Okay.
Once again, we're on the same frequency, Mr. Talk, because today I decided I wanted to do a quote, a humorous quote also. How about
okay.
that?
What about that?
Well, we're on
great
the same
minds think alike.
Again.
Right, right.
Uh-huh.
That is true. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to get your drum roll. My bad.
I
gotta
want
drum
my drum roll now.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Ever notice anyone going slower than you is an idiot, but anyone going faster than you is a maniac? That's by George Carlin. You see, we were on the same frequency.
Yeah, we were.
So once again.
Yes, we were. And you know the funny thing about that?
What?
One time or another, you've been called both of them.
Absolutely. And probably deserved it, too.
Yeah, more than likely.
Uh-huh.
You know, you get them days you're driving, you just want to cruise a little bit. Let me just cruise. He can go around. And then next day, you passing everything in sight. Then you become the maniac. Yeah, I get that. Yes, Bible Truth by Benny, he got his funny bone on today. He says, I could say that mean you couldn't fix Bush 43, but I won't say it. I'll say it. No, you couldn't fix Bush 43.
Oh, my goodness. Interestingly enough, I didn't really relate that quote to driving like you did.
Oh, you didn't?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. What did you relate it
but,
to?
But it's appropriate, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is true. Okay, wait a minute. My God, I've got a little issues going on with my headphone, but we'll get it fixed in a minute. Okay, so what did you relate it to?
Life in general.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, I definitely can see that also. But, you know, it just goes to show. We got to put labels on everything. Why we got to label people, y'all? I don't know. Okay.
I don't know either.
I know. I don't know, because some of y'all out there Northern Baptist, some of y'all out there Southern Baptist, some of y'all, what's the other one? Eastern Mormons, and I don't know. You know, all these different names. Yeah, why y'all? Why? Are we looking for that much approval for someone? We got to have a certain title to be okay, to feel like we are a part of something.
To talk. Do you ever consider that perhaps that's just the labeling? It's just the era in which we were supposed to travel through at the time, and now we're moving beyond that, maybe, perhaps?
Oh, Lord, so eloquently stated. Oh, okay. I can go for that. I'm with you. I can go for that.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. You know, when you know better, you can do better. But first you have to experience not knowing better before you can do better.
Amen. Oh, yes. That is so correct. So correct. Yeah, that's good. I like that. I like that. See, there's a reason why you're my co-host. You balance me out real good.
Oh,
I want to say give a shout out to RPM1 in the chat room also. Okay, welcome. You're new, but welcome. All right, enough of the chat. Y'all ready for your Monday party mix? Huh? Are y'all ready for your Monday party mix? Because I don't know what's on it either. I did it a long time ago. So, and I just said, let me see what's going to happen with this one. So this should be interesting. Y'all let me know how y'all like it afterwards. Like it afterwards. I'm talking so fast, got tongue tied. All right, y'all. But without further ado, here it is, y'all. Y'all Monday party mix. Enjoy. Soon as I get my drum roll. There we go.
Oh, beloved and professional. Got a category, my own, and I'm the president. Don't be alarmed, but I'm suing up the resident. With my particular style, style particular, extracurricular, smoother and trippy. Throwing up lyrics like you throw up a flapjack. You ever chicken McNugget and I'm a Big Mac. Brain Mac soloist, having Coca-Cola with. Doing very well, cause I took the right road to this path. Make the undertaker, wreck the breaker. Get up on the floor, do the heavy shaker. Started with the power, and I'ma end it with a bang. Bang.
Hands, everybody, if you've got what it takes.
My little lady, little lady, little lady, little lady. Wet sweat in the corner, people sitting down, they had as much as they could possibly get. Meanwhile, I'm lamping, feeling like a champion. Push up on a cutie phone, see this, I'm stance. I'm the place, I'm packed though, stuffed like an Oreo. Everybody broke for a heavy deep video, pumping in stereo. People said, here we go, a cutie down the front and said, heavy, you're my hero. Understand this, before you make a comment, there's always a meaning in a heavy deep statement. In this life, I strive for improvement. Be your own guy, follow your own movement. Love is a legend, me, I'm legendary at it. Flipping on the mic makes me a rapping acrobat. Don't try to swing, cause you couldn't even hang. We got our own thing.
Clap your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the breaks. Breaks on a bus, breaks on a car, breaks to make you a superstar. Breaks to win and breaks to lose, but these here breaks will rock your shoes. And these are the breaks. Break it up, break it up, break it up. With another man,
that's a break,
and she runs off with him to Japan.
That's a break.
And the IRS says they want a cat, and she can't explain why you claimed your cat.
That's a break.
And Ma Bell sends you a whopping bill,
that's a break.
With 18 phone calls to Brazil,
that's a break.
And you borrowed money from the mob. Lost your job.
That's a break.
Well, these are the breaks. Break it up, break it up, break it up.
Wow, Mr. Talk. You had me moving up in here now.
Uh-oh, now I had you moving. Okay, you was moving in the chair, right?
Not this time. Uh-uh.
Not this time?
It's amazing how your body just goes and remembers. You know, I'm sitting here making moves. You're going to have to be careful now.
You're going to have to be careful.
That was enjoyable. Nice mix.
Well, thank you, thank you. You know, as you see, I did that a while ago, and I looked at it, I said, I don't think I played this one yet. So I really didn't know what was on there, but it's all good. Hey, Antoinette, welcome to the chat room. Okay, I'm good now.
There she is. Greetings, sister.
Look, my chat room coordinator has arrived, so we all in the house now. We can get on with the show for sure. Okay, that's unofficial, but yeah. Oh, you're welcome, Michelle, and welcome to the show. Oh, all right. All right, y'all. Y'all ready? Y'all ready to get some conversation going now? All right.
Yeah, you we got my blood flowing. I'm ready now.
You ready now? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think I'll start it off. All right. Y'all remember Friday? Was it Friday? We talked about the shooting of the 13-year-old boy in California. You know, we was wondering what were some of the circumstances. Well, come to find out, it took a decision was made within 10 seconds to actually shoot this young man.
That's murder.
Yeah, 10 seconds.
That's what that is.
You know, he was from a blue collar neighborhood, and this was in Santa Rosa, California. You know, he was carrying a pellet gun that looked like an AK-47 assault rifle. And yes, the community was angered and outraged. They had more than 100 angry middle and high school students walk to City Hall on Friday. And it's just amazing. I was amazed with the 10-second thought process on this. You know, 10 seconds, that's a long time. So, you know, there couldn't be been too much negotiating going on. Not at all. And this is a 13-year-old kid, you know?
Yeah, that's
I don't know.
Horrible.
Yeah. Like you say, I guess you could say it was murder.
Yeah, but, absolutely. That's what it was, in my view.
And then, you know, go back to what we was talking about also. You know, it could be, well, it's not, it could be. It is that the fear that the police have now of, you know, anybody walking around with anything look like a weapon. You know what I mean? Anything look like a weapon. You know, they automatically reacting as in, I'm finna shoot some people up here. You know, if they don't.
Well, that's the way they're being trained.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
The enemy. And if you only took 10 seconds before taking action against a 13-year-old child, you didn't make any effort at all to contain the situation, just shoot him down, killing him? Yeah, that's murder.
That's
I don't see any other way to look at that.
Yeah, you got a point. You have a point. The article also went on to say that the deputy's mindset was that he was fearful that he was going to be shot.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
Mr. Talk, are you aware
yes,
that recently there was a company, I do not know the name of the company, that was hired to provide shooting targets for government practice and for police practice, target shooting? The company was hired to make targets, pregnant women, old men, young children, for the police to shoot at so they wouldn't hesitate.
Wow, really?
Really?
I didn't know that. That's, you know what? That is
just
crazy.
That was going around the blog about a month or so ago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
wow.
Now you can see the result of their training.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Pregnant women,
wow.
Little children, old men and old women were used as targets for them to do their target shooting, their practice.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, oh, man. That's, oh, wow. What is it coming to? I mean, really? Yeah. Well, we know what it's coming to. We just going to ask that. That's a hypothetical question, y'all, because we really do know what it's coming to or what it has mm-hmm. become. Let's say that that's going to tell the truth, what it has become. A police
mm-hmm.
state. That's what it has become. That what has
it didn't
so,
just become a police state,
woo!
As I said before. If you read the Lieber Code, L-I-E-B-E-R, from 1861, we've been under military occupation since then because that's rules of engagement for occupying force and how they're supposed to interact with civilians. Now, it's online for anybody to read it. The Lieber Code, L-I-E-B-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
So this just didn't happen. Now it's just in your face, that's all. While we were sleepwalking, it was always here. We were born into it.
You know what? That's a great point. That is a great.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, thing though, even back then, there were individuals trying to tell people what was going on. And of course, we being so far advanced intellectually that, you know, they were kooks. You know, they were crazy. It's something like Noah. You know, it's going to rain, it's going to flood. Yeah, go on about your business. Man, you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
yeah, Noah would have been classified as a conspiracy theorist back in his day, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. But hold on, let me bring Mr. Beasley in. Oh, Mr. Beasley.
Good afternoon. Noah would have been considered more further than a conspiracy theorist because there was no real evidence to back up there was going to be rain. It was probably a nice sunny day when he was talking about the rain. But to the little boy, the boy that was killed in Santa Rosa, it seems like if they waited 10 seconds, then he definitely wasn't aiming this artificial display weapon at them, or he wasn't even holding it up. He must have been holding it down, and they were demanding him to drop it.
Well, what the article said was he turned to look at them, and the barrel of the weapon raised up, and that's when that's when they shot him.
Yeah, if there's no videotape, you know, who's to say?
Wait a minute. Why is it, you know, and that's another thing. Why isn't there any videotape? Aren't the cars equipped with dash cameras and things? Somebody got to have a tape somewhere.
I guess they could have videotaped it if they wanted to. And maybe not the cars in Santa Rosa, but it seems like there's a lot of police cars that do videotape things. All too often there are officer-involved shootings where someone besides the officer is shot and killed, and the officer is found to have acted within the law.
Okay.
No, it's a shame that it happens like that, but that's really the way that it happens. And there's also a real among a certain part of the population, a real in reaction to crime, there's a real police set of there's a lot of people out there in favor of the police, no matter what they do. They feel like I read the articles in the San Francisco Gate when it says there's a pursuit and this and that and the other, and the police killed two people. And, you know, the comments will read like, well, thank goodness that they killed them and saved the taxpayers money. Well, good job for getting the bad guys. The comments will read like that. It's another way that the population is divided.
Hmm. Oh. Well.
That's something to think about. How you doing, Mr. Beasley?
Well, and yourself?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. I didn't know that guy was going to come on the line Friday and start trying to market to you guys. I thought he was just going to talk about the benefits of juicing. And I didn't know that he was looking to expand his market with that.
Yeah.
So I apologize for that. I wasn't trying to bring a commercial venture to the air.
Well, I mean, as long as he give me a little couple of duckies, I promote it.
Well, you know, he first has to cut me in before he does it. No, there's nothing wrong with the commercial enterprise. But you're right; you got to grease some palms along the way to make it happen. I'm introducing him to an audience that I know about, he doesn't know about, and it's your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And right, but anybody out there can get a juicer and some vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
And
that
do
is very true.
Right, and I recommend it. It has me feeling. I didn't know that I was feeling bad, but I'm more energetic, and it just feels good to know that you're doing the right things for your body.
You can hear it in your voice.
Yes, it does.
But Mr. Beasley, you know, I went to the grocery store just a little bit ago, and I was in the produce department, and I noticed how artificial the apples and things are looking. Have you noticed?
I mean, they put a little wax, they put a little shine on those apples, on a lot of those apples.
Yeah, they always did that, but I don't know, maybe it's just me. Today, they just look exceptionally artificial to me.
Yes, they do. I agree with you, Sister Ngoni. Yes, mm-hmm. They do. But hold on, go ahead, Beasley.
No, well, they got different qualities of produce. You know, you have your C grade, your B grade, and then in your better supermarkets, the stuff that's going to be more expensive, you have your perfect-looking fruit. Now, there's a little Latino market mm-hmm. that I shop at where things don't look as – they're not as pretty. They look more, you know, authentic, or they're not as beautiful. And that's probably the B-grade produce. That's a little less. I don't know if that has anything to do with, you know, them producing it on a mass scale or genetic modifications. But I would bet that if they are, if there is genetically modified fruits and vegetables, that they're gonna genetically modify it out imperfections. They're gonna make it look as perfect as possible. So you got a point there as well. Go ahead.
Because in nature, nothing's perfect.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Hold on. Let me bring Low and N2K into the house. Oh, you under that? There go your train, Beasley.
Everybody's train. I share the train with everybody.
Oh, okay.
Our train.
Mr. Low and
Hello.
Mr. Well, knowledge left. Mr. Low, how you doing today?
I'm well. How are you all?
Good.
We're
Greetings.
Doing wonderful.
I liked what the sister just said. Nothing is perfect in nature, especially when you talk about fruit and vegetables and that sort. So for these people to tell you straight out, even on the Georgia Guidestones and with Ted Turner and various other people, like what's the guy's name, Bill Gates, to tell you that the population, Earth is overpopulated. Those people to come in and be philanthropists, supposedly bringing vaccines and certain things. So Bill Gates is supposedly working with another billionaire, and they created eggs. Created eggs that's made out of something to do with plants or something, you know. And those people can always take a good photo op. They can take a nice picture smiling and something, you know. But all in all, if I told someone in an interview, well, the Earth is overpopulated, and we have to do something about it, and all of a sudden I'm bringing out vaccinations,
you're going to the
I'm
poorest,
going to do something
and go,
about it.
And going to the poorest people in the world. Right. The ones they consider useless eaters. Yeah, it kind of defies logic.
Which happened to be sitting on the richest part of the earth with minerals and so forth. Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely. His foundation went into some villages in Africa over 10 years ago and vaccinated the people. And my thing is, if those people have lived in those areas for centuries and they never needed vaccinations before, why would they need them now to survive?
Mm-hmm.
And for one, and two, his foundation went into certain villages in Africa and vaccinated the people, and the young women, after they became women of childbearing age, they were sterile.
Mm-hmm.
That probably was part of the plan.
Yes.
Mm.
They don't tell these things.
Yeah.
None of these, they don't tell any of this stuff. That you won't find this on the front of a major news circulation.
You do have malaria, which is a big problem in Africa, and I don't know if there's a vaccine for malaria.
No, they have medicine. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Beasley, I didn't mean
go
to
ahead.
Interrupt.
Go ahead. You've been there.
A pill that you take, and it protects you for like so many weeks. And it's relatively inexpensive for somebody like myself, but it's not inexpensive for them. Like, it's like $4, but that's a lot of money. You see what I mean? For them, they make $1 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But they had some kind of insecticide they were using. I believe it was DT something. They took it off the market. They banned it. Somebody help me with that.
DDT.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And it was working because, you see, over there, they don't have the drainage system is not developed, so they have open gutters.
Yeah,
and that's where the mosquitoes.
Open sewers. They still have open sewers there. Wow.
Yeah, and that's where the mosquitoes lay their eggs. Right, but they had it on the run, but then they banned it. When that was back in John F. Kennedy's day. I think it was his wife that went on a campaign about making getting rid of DDT. Yeah, yeah. And so they banned it, you know, from many countries, the underdeveloped countries.
DDT has serious side effects. It's a carcinogen, you know. It kills the mosquitoes, but it's going to give the people cancer. So.
Well, maybe that's not the right one then, because the one I'm thinking of, they was doing some good. So I might be the wrong one. Forgive me.
Oh, you're good.
Well.
Let me bring in a new caller, Jim. Let me bring in Jim. All right, Jim, welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you. You on the air.
Well, thank you for having me on the air. See, the one time I was in Louisiana, I got to take off my mom.
You're breaking up, Jim.
I'm sorry, you broke up. You're breaking up.
No, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Aqua Boogie. I listen to another show when someone calls in making that noise, they call it Aqua Boogie.
Oh,
and they play the record because it sounds like they're underwater.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Can you hear me?
That's a little better.
Okay. That's what I was saying is one time I was in Louisiana, and they don't got the quarantine there, and they had the thing, and I got a tick on my thing, and I got poison in it with a good gun underneath on the tank.
That Aqua Boogie.
Okay.
I heard Louisiana, and I think I heard tick. Did you, Mr. Talk?
Quarantine.
Yeah, I had tick poison. I mean, they got that tick poison here in the country, and I don't know how they get rid of them or eradicate them and get them on the tank.
Okay. I'm still hearing bits and pieces. Can somebody?
Yeah, me too.
Lo, you in you down there in Louisiana? Do you know anything about what the young man is speaking of?
I'm assuming he's talking. Oh, so you got bit by a tick?
Yeah, I got bit by a tick down there. It got me right on the, and they don't eradicate them down there because there's no way to get them off the tank.
Well, I'm assuming. You were talking about those ticks that carry that Lyme's disease.
They got the Lyme's disease, and they swell up underneath your tank and get right in there.
Okay. Ew. Wow. Man, is that
animals get up, but they get in people, too. They crawl in through your ear.
Wow.
Give you Lyme disease, and that's bad news.
Absolutely.
So you basically have to hang out in the woods for that to happen then, yes, no?
Well, you make
we lost Jim. Maybe he'll call back. We lost him.
but one thing that you guys have to remember, and you're talking about this being a police state, I'm going to say it like this. The Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. And if anybody knows anything about history, they will know the history of the Jews in 70 AD when they were ran from Jerusalem and when they were attacked in Jerusalem. None of that happened right then and right there. It was years prior when the emperor, Nero, set fire to his own city. And he also, after the fires were put out, he came with the help and the aid and everything. And the next thing you know, he had to put his troops in Jerusalem amongst the Jews. And that's where in the scriptures you'll see where Christ said, when you see Jerusalem compassed with army, flee into the wilderness. The wilderness meaning Africa, which is where our people fled into. That's how we got into Africa. It don't just start out with the military and the police there to kill you. It doesn't start out with that. It starts out with something small. Okay, you got this person supposedly goes into LAX with a weapon and they kill some people that's working for the government or whatever. Okay, that's one incident. Then you have a child walking down the street with a toy weapon and the police kills this child. That's another incident. There's two incidents all within itself to say we got to do something about these people carrying guns.
Right.
So it all starts very small, and the next thing you know, you'll be laying in your bed at 4 o'clock in the morning. They'll know that going through the records, you purchased 3 or 4 weapons for the past 20, 25 years. 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, they knocking on your door asking you to surrender your weapons or forcing you to. So all these things will come in time. They don't have to do everything right now. All they have to do is take their time about it.
Mr. Lowe.
Yes.
Greetings. How are you today?
I'm well.
That's good. I was wondering if you saw the article where it said that TSA Union is calling for armed TSA agents at every checkpoint. Isn't it interesting where they're calling for them to be armed and all of us to be disarmed? How about that?
Absolutely. I read that and I knew exactly what was coming because I didn't know that it had actually happened until a day or two after it happened. And so I was like, what's going to come behind this? I wasn't even concerned about the article because that's just the smoke and mirrors. What's actually going to come behind it was my question. And soon there will be people at the gates with weapons, not only the police, but also the agents, the TSA agents also. And
yeah, but
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go. It just seems unnecessary because at any major airport there are armed people around. Besides the TSA agents that aren't armed, it seems like everything's on camera, every move that you make, and if the second there's a problem, there's armed people around. There's police. There might even be National Guard people there. I've seen it all at airports.
That's true. But the problem is, last week or week before last, there wasn't a weapon where a weapon needed to be to secure that area where that person had initially started shooting at to take that situation.
So basically we're going to go like the European airports, you know, where they have soldiers walking around, you know, fully armed and everything, just patrolling. So that's the route we're headed then as part of the United Nations agenda, because you know you got to look at it from just our, you know, is part of this new world order they're trying to come up with, and you know what a better way to go ahead and try implement it now, being that TSA agent got shot in the airport.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Talk, there's some information coming out that from ambulance drivers that were on the scene there and other eyewitnesses that said they saw so-called victims laying on the ground 30 to 45 minutes after the shooting was supposed to occur. And they said that's unheard of because their job is to get whoever the victim is on a gurney in 5 to 10 minutes and get them to the hospital. So there's indicators that this may not be on the up and up. And some people were saying it's a gambit. And that's military talk, so you ought to know what that is. They said that's 101 military strategy. Okay.
Yep.
And there's another element, too, the element of funding. If y'all remember back with the Dravidians in Waco, Texas, under Janet Reno, when that went down, at the time, DEA? What is
it? It was the ATF agents that got killed.
Thank you.
That were trying to climb through the window.
Thank you, Mr. Beasley. Yeah, the ATF, that agency was trying to get funding from the federal government, and they say right now the TSA is trying to get more funding, see? So they stage sometimes they stage these events for reasons that we don't consider. We're trying to make rational sense out of what's going on, and always it's not about rational, you know, sense. There's other things going on behind the
scenes. I watched a video a couple of days ago. This guy said, I'm already going to say it was a lie because they had some big time policeman. I don't know if he was a chief or whatever up there saying we went over this. We practiced this for weeks. And today we played it out. And you got a man right behind him that put his hand over his face. I know this fool didn't just say we played this out today.
Yep, I saw that
video. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw that. And so anytime they have a drill, which they have drills all the time, but we never know which one of them they're going to take hot.
Well, I don't know.
Right.
Anything's possible, and I don't put any degree of evilness past any group or organization or individual that has an agenda to push, but for the TSA to sacrifice one of their own, you know, for them to kill somebody, or stage to have one of their own killed, or even more so the ATF. I think there were four ATF guys that were killed. If you remember them climbing through that window on the top floor, they'd been fired in. They got return fire, and it killed three or four of them.
I'm saying
it's possible, but, you know, it's not 100% likely, but it's possible.
Hold on, Beasley. Now, you of all people, you are a thinking man. And you of all people know that these people will do anything. You think they won't sacrifice some sucker on the bottom of the totem pole just to get what they want?
Yeah, they would, but to get government funding?
Come on now.
Well, how else are they going to show they need the funding? If they don't show there's some kind of critical thing they need to be able to take care of based on what they've been put out there to do? How else are they going to get the funding?
Yeah, it's possible. It's even likely, and it's too bad. You're right.
Think about it.
It goes back to the basic principle that they have been using over and over. The fear factor. As they keep us afraid and scared, then, you know, they can. We can get this passed easily, you know. But we need to create that incident as a smoke screen, and then we get anything we won't push through.
One question I have. If we have a standing army that's supposedly everywhere in the world to defend everybody else's freedoms and give them freedom and democracy, where the hell is our army at when we might need them?
Yeah, well, you know what? Listen to this. Listen. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, though. And I thought about this. Now, remember when you raise your hand to re-enlist or enlist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen. And there's a one line in there that says, I swear to defend this Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. Yeah. You know those are some powerful words, especially when you get domestic. And it didn't hit me till last night when I heard it on some show, and I say domestic, really? You know, so you I say that's crazy. So that's telling you push come to shove, they gonna go to war with us. You know, the Americans if they had to.
Enemy is an enemy, foreign or domestic.
Yeah.
If push come to shove, they will send in UN troops. I mean, let's be reasonable here. Your cousin that's still in the military is not going to find fairness in picking up a weapon and turning it against American citizens because, well, wait a minute, we got the right to bear arms. Ain't nobody taking my so-and-so rifle from me. Your cousin or my nephew or whomever. They're going to feel the exact same way because someday they'll get out the military and they're going to say, hey, I'm not going to live here and the only people have weapons is the government. Screw that. And so what they would have to do, and just like I said, in all the major cities,
that we have visited or live in, there are Russians, Georgians, and all types of European troops in those cities, just going about like nothing's ever happened. One day, those troops will be in uniform, and they'll be in uniform against these people in this country. They're not countrymen of this country. They could care less about these people. Their relatives are back at home.
Sleeper cells.
Brother Lowe, are you taking in consideration that the U.S. corporate military is already under the United Nations?
Yes.
Now I hear something about some grumbling a while back that they was asking the question when the U.N. troops or U.N., officers, would the U.S. military take orders from U.N. officers? Mr. Talk, do you remember anything about that?
I remember
it's been
that
a long
too.
Time ago raising that question.
Yeah. I remember that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Mr. Transparency wrote a – y'all can figure out who that is, right? Mr. Transparency, Peace Prize winner, he wrote an executive order a couple of years back giving over all the – water surrounding North America to the direction of the United Nations.
Imagine that.
And on top of that, have y'all ever heard of the term democide?
No.
Mm-mm. Well,
no.
Yeah, I want to ask Miss Antoinette if she had put that link, the definition of democide, in the chat room. What it is the thousands upon thousands of civilians that have been murdered by their governments, not soldiers, but civilians over the last century. And you see, we have to take in consideration that the government, in quotes, the government, is not the government for the people by the people anymore. It's been taken over. There was a coup when they killed JFK. So we talk about the shadow government. Well, that's who's running things now, and their agenda is to do away with the nation states.
Hold on, sis. Now.
There we go.
Let me correct you on something.
All right, I'm stepping out for a minute. Go ahead.
That government has never been for the people, by the people. Never.
I agree, but I wasn't going back that far in history.
Right.
I was kind of on, the topic we were talking about right now. But you're right. I know. Because when they sent I didn't want to go there, but when the 13 colonies were sent over here by King George, they were chartered corporations. So I know what you're talking about, yes. I agree.
And you know, Woodrow Wilson, in his speech, he didn't say too much, but he said enough to say, hey, there are powers that I'm not going to go against right now.
Well, he ruined his government. On his deathbed, he said he had ruined his government. And, Brother Lowe, you did not give him his complete official title. His official title should be KKK President Woodrow Wilson.
He was an avowed racist, and he wasn't ashamed of it.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Absolutely. I agree.
He was an avowed racist, and he wasn't ashamed of it.
Right. And the thing is, the on the low level, people that have no means to hold back other people are not racist. They can be prejudiced, but they're not racist. Woodrow Wilson was racist. J. Edgar Hoover was racist.
Mm-hmm.
They had all the means in the world to be able to hold back any other race or ethnicity that they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But just for the guy that lives next door or out in the woods somewhere with his rebel flag, you're nothing. How much money did you lose? How much money did you lose when they cut your welfare?
He's a bigot.
That's all. He's a bigot.
Right.
Nothing more, nothing less.
I want to say thank you to Antoinette for putting that link in the chat room. Yeah, demo side.
Right.
Woodrow Wilson did a lot under his term. I think he pushed through the income tax right away. Like, he got elected. He was inaugurated in January. I think by February or March, the income tax was put in. And then later that year, the same year, 1913, so he got elected in 1912, the income tax came in right away. And then not too long after that, the Federal Reserve was established.
Federal Reserve, absolutely.
Can I say a little something about that income tax, Mr. Beasley?
Go ahead.
It's a deceptive term. See, we're not really paying income tax. The Supreme Court has ruled 3 times that income tax is unlawful, unconstitutional. We're paying a usury fee for using a foreign private product we know as Federal Reserve notes. This, you see, so we're paying a fee, just like the banks, they make their money by charging us fees. Is that right?
Right.
So we're being charged a fee for using this private foreign currency that we call the dollar, and we're taught to think that it is a national currency, but it's not. It's owned by a private cartel, the Federal Reserve.
Right.
And we have to pay a fee for using it.
See, Kennedy.
Using it and the system that it passes through.
Right.
The infrastructure that it passes through. That makes sense.
One thing that people don't understand is if they truly had a president, a governor, a senator, congressman that really cared about them, those people would step back and say, wait a minute. Now, we pay the Federal Reserve, which is a private company, private corporation, we pay them interest. They don't want their money. They want the interest from their money. We pay them interest to print our money, and we don't go in and audit them. As a matter of fact, they already told us we don't have the right to come in and audit them, and we've asked them numerous questions, and some they refused to answer outright, and others they just blew us off. So why do we need them? If you had a governor, president, senator, congressman, whatever, that truly cared about the people and the best interests of the people, then there wouldn't be a Federal Reserve.
We don't need them. That's just it.
Absolutely. We can print our own money.
Yeah, and then the Treasury can issue it as credit to the nation without interest. And you,
right.
Somebody made the statement that they don't, I think it was Brother Lowe, said they don't want their money, they just want the interest. That is so true because, you see, they just created their money out of thin air.
Right.
And loaned
right.
it. The government, so they don't need
right.
it back, you know, because
right.
it never existed until they created it in the first place.
Right. Right. There will come a time when all of this will come to a head, and when it does.
Well, not too long after the creation of the Federal Reserve, where they control monetary policy and they could direct the Treasury Department to print money, you saw huge speculation in the 20s, okay? And with that speculation, it's very similar to what happened in 2008, is that you have all of the money at the top and all of these people at the top that have access to this money, and they use it to speculate. And they push the system to the brink where the system breaks. And when the system breaks, they are bailed out. Their interest is protected while everyone else suffers.
So basically you can say they're looting. That's what they're doing, looting.
It's sophisticated looting, definitely.
Right.
Have been so closed-minded to this stuff that they won't see it, though. See, when I sit back and I say, well, I know I have to pay my taxes. Because that's the law. No, my taxes for my money is me coming there performing a service. That's my tax. It's not the government sticking their hand in my check and taking a part out, and then at the end of the year I have to send them numbers back, and then they may say, well, hey, we took too much, or we didn't take enough, so you owe us or we owe you. That's not what that system was based on. It's what it turned into.
That's right, Brother Lowe, because during 1933, the Supreme Court ruled that since they confiscated all the gold from the people back during that time and they left them with no way to pay their debts, the Supreme Court ruled that they had to give the people something of equal value or greater. And what they decided on was that, like, for instance, when you sign your signature, you're actually creating more currency because we're used as sureties for the debt owed to the Federal Reserve. So what was supposed to happen was since they were operating under bankruptcy, and they were supposed, when we signed our signature to go get a mortgage or a house, a car or something like that, that was supposed to be set off because they're using our labor as a surety for the debt. So we're supposed to go labor, and then the things that we need to live, they were supposed to set that off in bankruptcy, but they don't. So that's why we see the trillions of dollars that they're telling is the national debt, because they're not writing anything off. They're looting. And we were never supposed to. We were never supposed to use Federal Reserve notes. That wasn't supposed to come out here. By law, they were supposed to keep those within the internal banking system, the 12 central banks. We weren't supposed to be handling Federal Reserve notes. That's why they're charging us usury to use them. And all the states had to rewrite their constitutions, and they had that done by around 1938 because in. I'm talking too much.
You're telling the truth.
No, that was good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, each state had to rewrite their constitution because in each state constitution it said they could only pay their debts in gold and silver. Well, they had started taking money from the feds, and they were all in violation of their constitution, so they quietly rewrote their constitutions, and by 1938 all of them had switched over and became sub-corporations of the mother corporation we know as U.S. Inc. or the federal so-called government. So now they're just sub-corporations of U.S. Inc.
And they did that in order to get funded.
Exactly. Now, have you ever heard the saying, when the government fears the people, you have liberty. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. I don't know who said that, but have y'all heard that before?
I heard you,
yes,
you say it. You said it.
Mm-hmm. It's true, ain't it?
Yes, it's very true. Very true.
You look at your money, and, I mean, you pull out any banknote and look at it, and just look at everything that's on there. I mean, the term that was the Bohemian Grove. Those people, they go out and have this big ceremony. The same owl that they come in front of and perform a mock sacrifice, whether it's mock or not, I don't know. But I read on this stuff. The same ceremony, the owl is a Babylonian god, and that's all Bohemian means, Babylonian.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, that owl is on that money. And you talk about these certain families that have all the wealth in the world. There are different things on the money to be of a, how would I say,
symbol
to a symbol for those different families. And
wow.
You know, it's like all the 13 families, all these things. I mean, your eagle, which is an abominable animal that a lot of people don't even know it is. Your eagle has the 13
tail feathers.
13 feathers.
It's holding 13 arrows and has 13 tail feathers.
Exactly. These people are the people that own this. All of this system is theirs. And you have people that have no clue to any of this stuff. All they want to do is go on to the next iPod and the next phone and play Candy Crush and all that foolishness. When these people when the people that actually own and run all of this stuff are showing you their construct. This is our construct. We just allow you to live in it.
Symbolism.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead. No, I was going to ask the question.
Well, I was about to say.
Oh, okay.
Well,
go ahead
and ask your questions. Go ahead.
Well,
go
the
ahead
question was,
question.
Since this has happened in this so-called nation or society three times, doesn't that give you some hope that, you know, that we can stand up, wake up, and do something about it? This has happened. This is the third time this has happened. Central banks have taken over this society three times. It's not the first time.
Well,
yeah, and each time they get a stronger grip on it.
Well, that's true, but maybe we ought to get stronger, too.
Good luck.
Well, people are too caught up in foolishness. You know, the people are too caught up in foolishness and things that's going on around them. You know, not the important things, just foolish stuff. You know, what somebody wrote on Facebook or on Twitter or whatever, and
American Idol.
How many points somebody scored in the football game yesterday? People are caught up in the foolishness, which that's how a lot of the laws were passed in the Roman times. They built gymnasiums, and during like the halftime, like the Colosseum, like the halftime intermission, a man would get up and speak what the government was doing, saying, you know, Caesar is about to do this and do that and whatever, whatever. You know, I mean, let's be honest.
The oracle.
Right there,
he's an oracle.
He was an oracle, absolutely.
And he'd read from the scrolls.
Halftime, I'm going to the bathroom. I'm getting me something else to drink. You know, I'm talking about the play, the last play. What? I'm not concerned about him. You know, he's not saying anything that matters. And this is the same thing. This is the same thing that's happening now.
Isn't that a part of the big plan? Isn't that a part of the big whole picture for them to use those avenues to distract people so they can, you know, get as much done without having to answer or face the public about anything? Because, it's done, it's done.
Yes, but name me some time in history when the masses of the people were the deciding factor in which way things were going to go. It's never been the masses. There's always been a vanguard out there that was researching and knowing what was going on that led the way, and then the masses join in.
A united mass of people, or the masses united, have power. But as long as you can keep the masses divided and at each other's throats and distracted, they're not a threat at all.
But my question is, name me a time in history, okay, that the masses led the way to change. It's always a vanguard of people that's trying to warn the masses, and then finally the masses wake up, and then they become united. They don't lead the way, not any history that I remember reading about.
No, so it takes something to stimulate the masses. And,
but what
and
about
you have
the Arab Spring? What about the Arab Spring?
Well, you know what? I heard that explained like this. First of all, you know that this power had their little puppet in, or putting their little puppet. They were doing regime change, in other words, right? And they said what the real deal was, those people were upset because they were having to spend 75% of their income on food over there. That's what woke them up. That's what's going to wake people up over here, too. Because there ain't going to be no whipped cream. There's still going to be no whipped cream and
did you say whipped
so forth and so on, you know, on the shelves. And then they're going to say, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Well, back to what I was saying a few minutes ago about 70 A.D. Actually, what happened is, if it wasn't for our foreparents that took heed to this and fled, then we wouldn't even be talking right now. Because we wouldn't be alive. But the thing is, for those people that stayed, they thought, you know, nothing's going to happen, whatever, whatever. Titus, which was a Roman, and his son Vespasian, put a camp of military all the way around Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And they didn't let any food or water in. They starved the people out.
Mm-hmm.
And so all they did was sit back and wait.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the book of Josephus, which is Flavius Josephus, which was an Israelite that was hired by the Romans to record what he saw, people would know exactly what happened. You had an account where a woman that didn't leave cooked her baby.
Mm.
And was eating her own child. This is true. This is true history.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, if people don't take heed to what's going on, then these things will repeat themselves. They just started to take as the Bible calls it, the daily sacrifice. They just started to take it away little by little. They decided that I'm going to take $33 from you. I'm going to take $100 from her and $75 from her out of food stamps.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to take the daily sacrifice away, mm-hmm. which is exactly what the scripture says is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and now I want you to think about, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you weren't finished.
No, go ahead.
And I want you to think about what I said earlier about that executive order that was written giving all power to the United Nations for all the waters surrounding North America. And then I want you to take in consideration the Constitution Free Zone, which is 100 miles inland all the way around the North American continent, and the whole state of Florida is in it. It's UCL – what is that? UCLC, what is that organization of lawyers, Jewish lawyers?
ACLU.
ACLU map. You can Google image it, and you can see the 100-mile border. So take that in conjunction with the United Nations control of the waters, and your scenario you just gave is very possible. Because
mm-hmm.
nothing can come in, and nothing can go out.
Are you talking about, Beasley, were you talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center?
No.
No, because okay, you know they're federal. That's a federal agency. You know that, right?
That's a Jewish organization.
I know, but they're funded by the federal.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's a government hit piece organization.
All right.
That's Morris D's.
Mm-hmm.
Morris D's. Oh,
They're supposed to fight hate groups.
Mm-hmm. But you know, y'all, vaccinations are supposed to eliminate disease too. But we know they're doing something different than what they say they're supposed to do, right?
We
got to leave ourselves some hope now.
Do we?
Why
not be real?
Right,
well,
exactly.
You know, that's better than just, you know, giving over all our power of thought to our demise. I mean, we're all going to hear the trumpet blow one day anyway, individually, so we might as well at least use our thought processes for something better than just giving up.
That's not altogether true because the word says,
hear this one.
Not everybody will see death. That's what the word
says. Well, I'm saying individually, don't we all have a day to meet our maker?
Not everyone will see death. And on top of that, some of the men of the 144,000 have already been sealed. That's already dead. There are still men now that are going to be a part of that 144,000. The thing about it is we have to get the people of the Most High, which are you, so-called blacks, Latinos, and Haitians, et cetera, to understand who you are in order for you to be sealed, because those are the people that's going to help Christ judge this planet. And from what the scriptures say, right before Christ comes back, America is not going to exist anyway. That's in Revelations. It doesn't
America
say America
exists today, Brother Lowe.
Specifically? Well, hear me out. It's not going to say, it didn't say America specifically, but it speaks of the horn that came out of Babylon, which is America. This place is not going to exist anyway. And if you think about it and you look at it, how many countries are now turning their weapons towards America? Everybody used to be afraid of America. Less and less countries are afraid of America now because we can get three or four countries together and we can overtake America, especially if we're just.
I think that any country that's not afraid of America's military might is not really using their proper mind. But in the same respect, I think Bob Dylan said, "When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose." So
right.
There are people, and then there may be countries where the situation is that desperate that that you're willing to go up against the enemy that's not, you know, a David against Goliath, so to speak, where it'd be difficult for you to win.
Well, Goliath is being isolated. That's what's going on now, but they're doing it economically, not militarily. I mean, this
isolation is isolation. There's economic warfare.
Yeah, but that's the way it always starts. Starts with currency wars,
right.
Then trade wars, then hot war.
Right. You hit somebody where it hurts. You hit them in the pocket.
Right. I'll ask President Ahmadinejad was asked by a lady for, I think it was 60 Minutes in an interview. She asked him, so how is your country dealing with the sanctions that America has put on them, and how are you going to continue to allow your citizens to suffer? And the man laughed and he said, my citizens aren't suffering. My citizens understand that we all live the same. If there are sanctions, the people that run the government also live as the people that support the government. And so with that being said, didn't your country just have almost filed bankruptcy? You're not under anyone's sanctions, and your country almost filed bankruptcy. My country is under sanctions, and we're still eating. We still have lights. So it's something to think about.
It is. But I want to reiterate, I believe in having some hope. Now, some people say, oh, that's just silly.
Then
you've got to
stop talking about this stuff all day, every day.
Well, wait, let me say why. I think it's important to talk about it because, see, those people that, like Brother Lowe was talking about in his scenario from his biblical understanding of what's going on, those who aren't aware of what's going on, see, that's going to save a lot of people if they become aware, because then they won't die of fright and then go out trying to kill their neighbors and all that kind of stuff. It could possibly help somebody not go into the fear factor and work together. That's what I'm thinking, you know.
So you did the best thing that you could have did a few years ago, and I'll say it again, and my family is also making provisions to do the same thing, which is Christ said, come out of her, my people. The best thing anyone can do is leave this country. I have family here, friends here, and everything, just like everybody else. But I also see that everywhere I look, the police looks more like the military, and the military is also taking presidents in different areas, you know, to set up shops. So I don't want to be here. And the longer you stay, the worse it's going to get.
Well, I can understand and relate to where you're coming from, but I decided I was going to go down with the ship because my family's here, and, you know, they got AFRICOM crawling all over Africa anyway, so you're going to run over there, but, you know, you're going to run into
here's the question I was going to ask, but what you just said, Lo. If that is the case, and let's say the UN, you know, they come New World and is covered by the UN, where is there to run to? Where are you going to run? If it's the UN, Yeah, there's nowhere you can go.
Well, I'm saying this again. I'll ask you one question before I answer. Do you believe in the Bible, yes or no?
Yeah, I believe in the Bible. You know that.
Okay. No. I ask you that because.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Now, the thing
Were
is.
Were you there?
I'm here. Hello?
Okay,
Go ahead. Okay, my thing is this. If the Bible says...
Go low.
I'm talking. You can't hear me? If the Bible says, come out of her, my people, what exactly does that mean?
It means different things to different people, because you can say, come out of her, my people, in your consciousness. Come out of your stupor. Come out of your sleepwalking. Wake up.
Okay.
Understand what's going on around you. That's what it can mean, too. It doesn't necessarily mean physically leave.
Come out of the world of sin. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, if that's the case, and this is also the same thing Christ told the people to come out of Jerusalem, when you see armies everywhere, when you see the military everywhere, and for those that did, they're the only reason why we're here today. For those that didn't, their lineage does not exist. So it just because you live in America, you're going to take on some of the attributes of America, like it or not. There will be no way to not. You can live here, you can live by the law, statutes, and commandments, but there will still be situations that you will be subject to because you are physically in this land. This land is all nothing but sin. When they decided, for the most part, we all know marriage is nothing but a union between a man and woman. These people take their laws, which they tell you at church, to follow the laws of the land, and twist their laws. And now a woman and a woman and a man can marry each other when the Bible calls it an abomination. And every other country will follow this lead because this country is the beacon for all other countries for the most part. If they're doing it in America, then we want to do it too.
But does that mean you have to also follow it? No, because that is your choice not to follow.
Right.
Right. So
right.
Your point was what?
My point is this. When I am all the way economically able, my family is going to leave here. I love my family. I love everybody that's in my family and all of that. I do. But when I took on my own family and everything, I had to think about those people before all others. My father is the man of my mother's house. And if he would have been properly reading Scripture and would have properly been living according to Scripture, he would understand these things too, instead of thinking, oh, well, I can just come out of America mentally. And I'm not saying that's what he said, but that's what some people think. How can you come out of a place mentally if you're actually physically living in that place?
Brother, you're not your body, you're not your mind, and you're not your thoughts. You're a spirit housed in a physical body. And so to come out of her is to see when the spirit is residing in the temple, then you see, the people wake up and stop the foolishness that they're doing, then things can change. I'm not saying they can change overnight, but, you know, we all can have a part in doing the best that we can do. That's all. And if you feel that it's your destiny to leave and take your family, then you should do that. If that's your understanding and that's the guidance for your life, I admire and respect that. But that doesn't mean that everybody else is wrong just because you're coming from that perspective and that's your guidance for your life.
Don't all of you just wish we can have an all facts moment and let him comment for like 5 minutes right now?
No, thank you.
Okay. Just a question.
No, thank you.
I go back to you once again. I'm going to ask this question again. So where do you go?
Where do you go? There are several places. There are several
places.
Stand
right here and
going to
make the best
of
it.
Exactly. And you're supposed to, because that's where you are led. That's what you're led to do. Man, Brazil, Argentina, any place in South America, even look towards, because we come from the East, look towards countries further east, even somewhere as cheap as living in the Philippines. There are places to go. You know, the only thing is, and Mr. Talk, I know you got a passport, so, you know, there are places to go. The thing is, Americans just get caught up with a vacation being we live in Louisiana, let's go to Texas for a vacation.
I be thinking about earthquakes and typhoons. They seem to happen more over there than they do here. I can't be doing that. Let me stop. Let me bring Ebony in.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Miss Ebony.
Hey, Ebony.
Hey. Hi, how you doing?
Good. You?
I'm okay. I'm still in the UK, although I guess I could be somewhere else. But, yeah, I am here right now. Hello, I totally get what you're saying. I think N2's right. You guys are circling the drain because, like, you know, you're going round and round, and I'm not sure where the conversation's going. But I totally get that people are like, if you follow in the biblical context, actually the truth is, Lo, if you were following the biblical context, you should have gone a long time ago. You know, there's a lot of people I know that have gone in the last 20 years have gone. They're not talking about it anymore. They've gone. And so, you know, it's one of those things, if you really, really feel passionate about it, make the move. Don't talk about it. Just do it. Just do it. Because I think some people will get it and want to make that move and will believe it and will vote with their feet. And, you know, and I think you're not going to convince anybody else that that's the right thing to do. It's going to be the right thing for you. So you do what's right for you and let everybody do what's right for them. I think that's where we're at. I think it probably has to get a hell of a lot worse before people will decide that they have to leave or they will leave. So, you
Leave to go someplace where it may even be worse
and,
than what
and,
you're leaving
and,
from.
Well, you know, you're always going to say there is worse out there, but we don't know until we get there.
I mean, what are people talking about leaving for a rural lifestyle where you have some, you know, inexpensive land that you can farm? What are people leaving to?
The idea of moving was about coming out of the cities, if I understand the Bible, and going into rural areas and, you know, creating your own food, making your own food and planting your own food and eating it. So you
that's
could have a healthier
that's
lifestyle.
That's what I said.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what I'm
saying. What
I said, right.
That's how I understand it. So there are rural areas in every country. So you can choose, you know, just today, you know, someone who's, Vicky, who farms, she works on a farm. She brought me around some lovely, healthy food. I've got food for a week. I can't believe it. But, like, you know, you can get healthy food, you know, from someone who's farming. You just have to make those links, or you can choose to move out into the countryside and have that lifestyle. But it's a choice. I think everybody can make that choice. I think there's enough information to say that, you know, the way that we live in our cities is not healthy. It's killing a lot of people. The food isn't good quality. You know, we got the GMs and everything else. You've got it as bad as probably you have. Maybe you guys have it worse in some areas. But, you know, it's a challenge, isn't it? To try something different that might help you long-term is a challenge. And also, it really is a choice. So I hear Lo, but what I'm saying, Lo, I doubt you convince people online right now that what you're saying is the right thing, because most people are here having the conversation because they choose to be here. That's my point.
Well, that's cool, but like I said, when I'm economically able to leave and not be confounded with coming back, then that's when I will leave. I pray to the Most High it's not too late, because we don't know the time nor the hour, but that's my plan. I don't plan to leave and come back. I mean, like I said, I have cousins, aunts, uncles, relatives, all of that, family, extended friends, all of that here. But the thing about it, when it's all said and done, is that what I am supposed to base my life upon? No. You know, because we have the basic instructions on how to live and how to exist, even coexist with other people. But it doesn't always work out that way. And
but
so
I think there's been so many people over the years who have said exactly what you're saying. I want to move out. I want to is something that a lot of people, you know, strive for as well. But I think Michelle's right in the chat room. The move starts with the mind. And, you know, I think if you're out mentally, it's a short trip. You know, it's just going to be a very quick experience and you'll be there. And don't worry about who doesn't want to go with you. Decide if you make the move. You know, take the mind there first. If you're ready mentally, then the physical's not a problem. You know, so that conversation about family and friends, let it go. If you want to go, go.
Oh. Trust me, I'm not concerned about everybody else. I mean, I asked a question. Go ahead, Ms. Talk.
Well, I just want to bring your cousin Vernon in since you're worried about family. Let's bring your family in. Hey, Vernon, what's going on?
What's going on, everybody? I got noise in here. I'm driving right now. Do I got a lot of noise?
No.
No, I don't hear it. How are you doing, Vernon?
Oh, hi, everybody. Ebony, my cousin.
Hi, Vernon.
Ebony, my cousin ain't going nowhere. He was born here, and he's going to die.
I'm not trying to discourage you, Brother Lowe, because I think you should follow what's in your heart and what you believe in. But I do want to encourage you to get moving because they're already starting to restrict passport access.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I have more than 30 stamps on my current passport. So I
don't have anything to do with you getting another one, brother. They're changing the rules in the middle of the game like they always do.
Mine expires next year. It's good for 10 years. I'm going
to
renew it.
Get a new one.
I'm glad that you said that because someone came on this show and blatantly lied and said my passport's good till 2035.
No.
And that stuck out in my mind because
They issue them for 10 years.
Well,
exactly.
if they were an ambassador or something like that, maybe. I don't know. You know, they can do whatever they want to do.
You know, Antoinette brought up a good thing. She said, and currency. You know, because we talk about passports, but what about the currency?
Exactly.
You can't take that dollar with you. You can't take the dollar with you.
Well, you're limited to $10,000, at least you used to be.
In cash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can transfer if you've got more, you can transfer it out. That's not that hard to do.
Well,
right.
Yeah,
but it might be harder with Chase saying that you can't send out more than $50,000.
But what you gonna do when they have a banking holiday and you can't transfer anything?
That's the day that you just meditate, beat the drum, and smoke herbs, and relax and try not to spend any money.
I always thought the U.S. was a little bit suspect. You know, when I came there a year ago and they were, like, taking pictures of your eyeballs, I'm like, wow, I don't know if I want to be American ever because I never heard of that in my life, people taking pictures of your eyeballs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's a new one.
That's deep. Yeah, they took pictures of your eyes. Like, why? You know,
are you
scanning? What's that about?
You better believe that the U.S. and the U.K. are hand in hand and eye to eye.
This is still a British colony.
It never stopped being a British colony.
As sister societies where, you know, everything matches. If you guys had the economic downturn we did and the housing crisis, it's all the systems are set up very similarly.
They are.
Anything
run from one beast to a greater beast.
right.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I can do the beast, I know, but the bigger beast, I think not.
Technically, this land is called Azeroth. And, you know, those people, the Edomites, wherever they go, they name the countries and lands after their own names. Henceforth, America. And this place was, if you know anything from the Apocrypha, is where the Israelites that were the North American Indians came to get away from their captors, the Assyrians, to worship their God. But being that they got here and started to do everything pagan all over again, here comes Edom. And that's why they're on reservations right now. And we were brought to this land in slavery because we didn't do what we were told to do. And it had nothing to do with those people that stayed in Jerusalem because they all died. The ones that didn't die, they were put in arenas for sport. That's the truth.
Well, I don't know about that history, but I do know that there are a fair number of black Falasha Jews that went back into Jerusalem or into Israel, and we still ain't hearing nothing about them. I mean, you know, that's interesting.
You're talking about right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, they kicking a lot of those those people that's in that land, those Ashkenazis are kicking a lot of those true Jews of color out of that land. Or they made proclamations where the women of color had to get on some type of birth control, or sterilize them all together, and a lot of them, because you had those white boys doing what they known to do, going over there laying up with them, and they was wind up getting pregnant. And then you had the white girls liking those black boys.
With those Obama babies.
They made ordinances against that stuff.
Wow.
Absolutely.
So the Yom Kippur race absorbed the pure race. Wow. There you go.
Now the people that flee the Nazis have some of the same policies.
Yeah.
When it comes
happened, because they encouraged the Falashes to come home, and no one's hearing anything about them since. I mean, that was a good sort of like, 15 years ago or more? And they've just been absorbed. They've disappeared.
Ebony, don't you remember when they airlifted? That was during the time when there was a lot of Ethiopians starving, and they airlifted them and took them to Israel, and then it came out. The news that they were made, they used them for maids and domestic jobs to work in the people's houses and stuff over there. You remember that?
Yeah.
But since then, I haven't heard anything.
No.
And that
tells us, you see, this is a problem. This is a problem. Sometimes I hear what you say, Lo, about Christianity and all the rest of it. Some of it. A little bit twisted, okay? When we start absorbing that stuff and believing that we need to go to the homeland, and the homeland is, Israel, this Israel where you have these people that are not even proper Jews, this is a problem, right? People got to disappear.
I will be led back by the master. I'm not going back to that place right now by myself. No.
Try not to go there. You'll be in the wailing wall. Whatever.
No. I ain't going over there to that crap. I ain't going way up by the wall.
No.
I'll never hear of you again. Vernon will have to come and get you.
With some of the things I'm telling people on different forums and things, hey, they probably have to get me right now sooner or later. But that's fine.
Okay. Well, I would reveal your source, right? That's all I'd say. Keep it to yourself and go and do what you have to do. I'll tell you what's interesting. About 15 years ago, maybe more, about 15, 20 years ago, a whole half of my family, the Rastafarians, got up and went to live in Ghana, and they still live in Ghana. You know, they're doing very well. Their children have grown up there, and that was that's what they believed they wanted to do with their lives. And I totally see you can do that, and they weren't talking about it. They just got up and did it. No big conversation, no persuading the whole rest of us who were still here. They were just like, this is what we want to do. They went and did it. So, you really believe that, just do it. You don't need to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And Sister Antoinette has a good point in the chat room, says not all of us came here from Africa. We were already here.
That's a good point. Some of us were already here. She's talking about the Native Americans.
Mm-mm. No.
The generation.
That's confusing. The people that we call Native Americans today are not the people. They are descendants of the fur traders that came over here and mixed with the original people that were already here. See, they try to convince all of us on slave ships in the country.
Biblically, the North American Indians are Israelites. It's in their burial. They have Hebrew in their burial grounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
have to read the Apocrypha, which was taken out of the Bible, the 14th.
Well, the Bible has been revised and edited.
You have these different schools of thought, and you know something? There's probably some truth to all of it.
It is. I agree.
There's probably some truth to all of it, and one doesn't necessarily exclude the other.
That's right, Mr. Beasley. I agree.
Right. And my question is then for the King James Version 1611, for those people, those scholars to write those books and put everywhere in those books that these people were black in this King James Version 1611, and all of a sudden you get your NIV, your New Living, this, and I'm dumb, give me this easy-to-read Bible, and none of those people in those books have any color to them, nor is the Apocrypha in that. That was done for a reason. And as far as the revisions and all of this and all of this, like I say, the King James Version is the one that is most closely related to the original text, the Hebrew and the Greek. So with that, I wouldn't need all these other books. I could use secular books like From Babylon to Timbuktu, the Complete Works of Josephus, the Book of Jasher, which is a book of the Holy Fathers, not specifically one. Jasher was not one man. It was a book of all of the Holy Fathers writing different accounts, and they took a collection of this and made one book called the Book of Jasher.
But Brother Lowe, a Muslim would tell you the Quran is closest, and I'm not one. But that's just, see?
I would tell him that everything that Muhammad learned, he learned from Israelites. And on top of that, Muhammad married an 8-year-old girl. I couldn't listen to anything out of that book, and that book was written for Ishmaelites. The promise did not come through Ishmael. The promise came through Isaac and Abraham and Jacob. So I wouldn't have any dealings with that Quran anyway, because even the Quran says that the promise came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the way of the Ishmaelites is not the way. That's easy.
Well, it all came from the same, the Vatican, the stories.
Actually, King James was against the Vatican.
He was a Protestant.
Pope. He was against the Pope. He actually referred to the Pope as Satan.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the whole idea of religion, period.
Well, I'm not associated with any religion whatsoever, Catholic, Baptist, no. None. Because the word religion is not even in the Bible.
And religions existed before Catholicism. There were religions.
Well, I'm talking about the written word.
Yeah, there were still religions before, and there were other writings. There were the Dead Sea Scrolls. There were lots of other writings, except that Catholicism and under Rome and the Vatican was widely marketed and widely spread.
That's right. What I'm speaking.
Council of Nicaea.
Right, but there were religions and belief systems in different groups far before then. They just took it in by hook or by crook. They publicized it the best they can by sword and by word every way they could.
Absolutely.
And it was a right. So
that's why, to me, it makes no sense to argue about any of it.
Well,
I agree. I don't really get into such as because I've learned people are going to believe what they believe, and they have the right to believe what they believe, and that's okay.
I respect it.
Yeah,
let people
believe what they believe, and it's okay. Yeah. I don't have to push my beliefs on you. You don't push yours on me, and we can still find a way to communicate and get along.
That's right.
Well, one question I have is if the books say you know the truth, and if you don't at least try to give your people the truth and they don't accept it, that's one thing. But if you give it to them and then they accept it, it's a blessing. If you try to give it to them and they don't accept it, then you dust your feet off and you keep it moving.
But you got to remember, Brother Lowe, the Bible is to interpretation.
That's true too. And what the book says, and what I've learned that works practically for my life. And what works practically for me is I can believe what I choose and other people can believe what they choose, and mm-hmm. there's no conflict.
Right.
Really?
It's an easier path. There's no conflict for me because mm-hmm. I allow people to believe what they want. I don't have to agree with it, but
yeah.
But they can believe what they like, and it doesn't infringe
again.
Upon me what someone else believes.
Again.
Regardless of
like
what
I
a book
before.
Says.
Like I said before.
Uh-huh.
If you know the truth, and for those who say, and this is scripture, for those who say, oh, I know Jesus, I know the Lord, but they don't keep the commandments, are liars. You have many people that say that every day, I have a personal relationship, but they don't keep the commandments. The Bible says they are liars, nor does the Gita, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the Quran, none of those books prophesy what's going to happen to the people. Nobody used those books for prophecies. Nobody used those books for references. But if you look in the Bible, you will see everything going on right now that's prophesied.
In the same respect, since Revelations hasn't taken place, where there's 144,000 that are left, I mean, one could say that the Bible is a liar, even
what
though
you
don't.
What do you mean, 144,000 that's left?
Well, there's supposed to be 144,000 people that are going to enter into the game.
There will be 12,000 men from each tribe that will be sealed by the Most High. They will meet Christ in the air, and they will come back with Christ to judge the rest of the world. It didn't say anything about everybody was going to be dead. Because the scripture says
they're spiritually
that there will be a
dead and some are spiritually awake.
Right. There will be a multitude of all nations before the throne.
But it hasn't happened. And they've been talking about
happened.
It for 500 years.
Well,
right.
Some people
have
no man know the time nor the hour for that to happen.
Right.
But
so there's a, so
if
there's
you
another
look around,
there's another explanation in this book to explain why something didn't happen, where you can keep this thing going on, you know, perpetually. And you can
yeah, like it. N2K has a good comment in the chat room. It says that the Catholicism was spawned to change from military to social, because that was back in the time of the Crusades,
you know,
and all that. He says the Catholic religion was spawned as a paradigm shift from military to social.
Well, the Crusades came 1,000 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Catholicism was first took place, you know, 30, 40, 50 years after you know, when they first started writing about them.
It was a process, Mr. Beasley. It didn't happen on one day.
Yeah, well, 1,000 years is a long time.
Yeah,
right,
1,000, you're right.
It went from social to military. It went from military to social.
From
to back military
to social, he said.
Well, then it must have went back military, for the Crusades were a military campaign, two military campaigns, maybe three.
We have a military organization today, but it's still now they're trying to get us to socialism, which happens before communism.
Well,
you know,
that's a different type of social, what he's talking about.
There's nothing new under the sun. I think there's a whole history repeating itself, but that's just what I think. It don't mean nothing.
Look at you quoting the Bible and don't even know.
I think the Bible is full of metaphor and allegory, and people take it literally sometimes. And that's why
I think it's full of truth, because
digs a little deeper than most Bible thumpers.
It's just reading, man. Hey, you read, you understand.
He did say most Bible thumpers.
If you don't read, and you only go off of what Grandma said and Papa said and this and that, you will be deceived.
Well, you were able to correct me. You were able to correct me when I was talking about the 144,000 that was left. And you made it more specifically.
Yeah, that's a literal interpretation. What will happen, that's a literal interpretation, I think.
Right.
I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm just saying I conceive that to be a literal interpretation of what you're reading.
It is a literal interpretation. It's also a carrot and a stick. Think of all Think of all the hundreds and thousands of people that have died that believe that they didn't witness that in their lifetime.
Who are you referring to? Because no one really believed that. They don't preach and teach this stuff in church nowadays.
Oh Lord.
I think they still do.
What church have you went to where they said, sister, your family, your foreparents, you black woman, you and your foreparents, you people are the true Israelites that the Bible was written for, not those people in Israel right now, not those Israelis. They don't teach that at church. And if you fall under any doctrine, whether it's the Southern Baptist Convention or the AME or whatever, you will not teach that doctrine. And
well, let's talk about what the word doctrine means.
The Hebrew Israelites teach it. The Mormons teach it to their people.
I was going to say that.
The Mormons teach it to their people. A lot of different groups teach that they're one of the lost 12 tribes.
Yeah.
The Mormons include some white people in that, too.
The Mormons is all white people.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is
99.9% white
people. It's physically impossible for those Edomites to have been a part of that.
Okay.
But they won't believe that.
Explain it to Joseph Smith.
Okay, hold on a minute, y'all. I got two people who want to come in and join
this conversation.
I don't
say that I believe
they've been waiting
that's
for a moment now. Yeah, so let me bring Wesley in. And 6 and 8, Mr. Knowledge. All right, gentlemen, you welcome to the show.
How y'all doing, man? I listen the whole show. Now, I listen before I open my big mouth, okay? That's what I do. Okay, 144,000 going to be the lighter ones that's going to tell the folks what's going on about this seal. The main seal is the people's mind, okay? It's not going to be nothing but floating in no air, waiting to meet no Jesus in the air. The air is your mind. It's your mind, brother. And that's what I like to say, sir.
Read these, Brother Wesley.
It's in the Bible. Mr. Gomez, you got more balls than Lowe got, man. I mean, you got some big testicles. You ain't running. You're not running. You real. Okay? I appreciate that. But I agree with the pizza. What somebody else eat don't make me shit, okay? I just don't
care. Okay, well, you ain't got to come in and cuss, but what scripture is that? Just tell me what scripture so I can reference that. Because
it's
in Revelation,
bro. The same book you read.
You're going to let me talk?
You talk the whole show, bro. It's in Revelation when you read the 144,000, but the answer is your mind, not no air floating up in the clouds, man. Nobody going to be floating in the clouds. It's your mind. Okay. The seal that they're talking about breaking is the seal of your mind, your consciousness. Okay? That's really the whole deal what's going on, man. They're taking robbing people's minds, man. How many times I got to tell y'all that? Mr. Gomer and Antoinette, they know what's going on, man. They know about this here, man.
Okay, well, from what I read, it says 12,000 from the tribe of this, 12,000 from the tribe of that, 12,000. That's what it says in the book. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad. That's what the Bible says. So it don't say
okay,
no 12,000.
Okay, and 144,000 going to be the people on the earth right now that's walking around. All us part of the tribe, okay? It ain't going to be nobody floating around in the air. You know, but that Jesus, they going to show a hologram up there. And y'all, that's when you're going to start running. When you see the hologram of Jesus, when they bust that hologram out for you, you going to start running?
If I see the hologram, I'm going to start running. I don't know which direction, but I'm going to start running.
The hologram won't be the sign.
I don't know if I'm going to run towards it or away from it, but I'm definitely going to get to moving.
The hologram won't be the sign. The sign will be darkness and gnashing of teeth.
Wow. It's easy to go, man. I just got my knowledge and out. Bleep, bleep, bleep. That's all, folks. I'm gone.
Thank you.
All right. Let me welcome Michelle to the show also. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, Anthony. Hi, everyone. Actually, sorry, I accidentally pressed one. I actually didn't want to say anything, but thanks for having me on. I think everybody knows how I feel about this subject, so it's really not much point.
Are you chickening out, Michelle? Come on.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, greetings, Michelle.
I just have a very different approach to life altogether, and it's got nothing to do with the Bible or religion or anything like that. So
share it with us.
I think I've already shared it before in other shows. I just follow my own truth, whatever that is. And nobody can really tell me anything unless I feel it. I just know things. That's all I can say.
Well, this is Michelle from Australia. Hey, how you doing there?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Let me ask you a question.
Just figured that out, huh?
I just figured that out.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Michelle. You say you just feel things, and if it feel right to you, then it's good and okay, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're basically going off your emotions. Have you ever dated? How many men have you dated? You dated more than two men before?
Oh, God.
I have a question.
I don't really know what this has to do with the subject.
I said dated.
But...
I didn't say slept with. I said dated. My question is this. If you've dated more than one man, your heart led you to believe that one man was wonderful for you and great for you, and then it didn't work out, and then you went to another man, and maybe you didn't work out with him either. So your heart and what you felt led you astray to the truth. The truth was neither one of them were right for you.
Hold on. Let me just make a comment on that, because, yes, my heart might have led me there, but not how I felt. So what I've learnt over the years is really listen to how I feel about things, because when I listen to myself, I make mistakes. And so I'm not talking about emotions here. I'm talking about feeling and meaning, which is beyond, it's not about emotions. It's about I can't explain. It's not something I can actually put into real proper words for people to really understand. But people who know what I'm saying, they know what I'm saying. They understand what I'm referring to.
Could you say you're tapping into your intuition, which is tapping into a higher source of guidance?
Possibly. Mm-hmm. But it's more about, possibly. That could possibly be it. Like I said, I don't listen to, I just don't focus on things I don't want to focus on, and that's all it is. I just follow, I'm guided by myself.
Let me ask you another question, and this is low talking. This don't have anything to do with Mr. Tom. Don't get offended at him. What race are you? What nationality are you?
I'm Australian.
I said, what nationality are you?
She's from Australia. That's her nationality.
Human?
That's not a nationality. Are you black?
Is her nationality. You just know about the Bible.
You should ask Lo what color is she. Is that what you want to know? Ask her a color.
Okay, Bible Truth by Benny is saying he's about to trip her. And I just want to tell Bible Truth by Benny, no, he's not. He's about to trip himself.
Lo needs to read the dictionary and put the Bible down for a little while.
I'm asking a question.
You're asking her nationality. That's what nation you're from.
Yeah.
I'm an American.
Right.
That's my nationality.
Let me ask her then, please. I was asking her a question.
Go ahead.
I thought it was a talk show.
If you got an issue with me, you
I'm
can
white.
Go in the green room.
I'm European descent. I'm white.
Okay. And the reason why I ask that is because... And
he's
don't
obsessed
take
with race. Because he's obsessed
don't
with race.
Don't take offense. Don't take
That's
offense.
That's why. He's going to make it a racial thing. Go ahead.
I'm not going to make anything whatever. Well, all I'm saying is if you are Edomite, then...
Good grief.
That Bible wasn't written for you in the first place, so your opinion don't matter.
Good.
And it ain't me too.
Since your opinion doesn't matter.
I could care less about feelings and emotions. I'm just telling the truth. The Bible was written for the children of Israel. And
but that's your interpretation.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
All right.
How is everyone?
Did someone just I'm get great.
Shot? I-N-2.
I-N-2. Did someone just get shot? What's going on?
Yeah, I think it was Low.
He got tased. Yeah. He got tased for bringing his black nationalistic exclusive Christianity on here.
But I just wanted to clarify something that I had put in the chat room earlier that Ngone had commented on. What I was making reference to, because I know that I'm not a religious person. I consider myself a spiritual person. However, with that being said, I make it a point to study religion just so that I know what it is that I know. And when I was making reference to the Council of Nicaea, you know, it's like the funny thing is like in the United States, one of the things that they charted was the separation of church and state, which basically at the time from a fundamentalist standpoint had to do with what people like to say escaping religious persecution, which in my humble opinion, it really has nothing to do with. On the surface it does, but beneath the surface, it's always going to be intrinsically involved and incorporated into the whole human existence. Whether you want to participate or not is just an individual choice that all of us either have to make, or at some point we're indoctrinated and we decide, oh, this is not working for me. So what I was talking about, during Constantine's time, Rome had pretty much bankrupted themselves because they had the military in Africa, they had the military all throughout Europe, and they had extended as far up as the UK, what we call the UK now. And what Constantine saw was that they couldn't continue on in the empire the way that they were going, just being primarily a military force, which was the whole purpose of the Council of Nicaea, was to shift their main focus from military to something that could operate on a more global level, to where they didn't have to be in all these different places at the same time. They didn't have to feed troops. And just to segue from there, when Beasley brought up the Crusades, now this was approximately 1000 AD, I believe. I think it was between 1000 and 1100. Now, the Crusades was the genesis of what you see now, which is the struggle between Islam and Christianity, because that's what the Crusade was about. It was about Islam versus Christianity, because we had this power shift. And anytime there's a power shift, there's a feeding frenzy. The piranhas come out, and it's like survival of the fittest at that point in terms of who's going to be the top dog. So that was the reason why we had the Crusades, because that was when you had Jerusalem falling, coming back up again, falling again. You had Knights Templars. You had all of these organizations that were buying for this territory. And as it stands, the way we see it now today, it's the same thing that's been going on. Now, like I said, in my opinion, they're going to fuse all of this together. In another 30, 40 years, there's not going to be any Christianity. There's not going to be any Islam. There won't be no Buddhism. And if there is any of that, it's going to be purely underground. The new religion is science and technology, and it's what everybody has bought into in some form or fashion. Cell phone, iPad, tablet, laptop, computer, whatever. It doesn't matter. They got the market cornered on it. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, wow, that was good points. And you can see them operating now, telling the military that they can't proselytize or give money to evangelical organizations.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then here in the States, what was one of the first things that they did? Get religion out of schools,
no school prayers, take down the Ten Commandments on federal property.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of all of that. It's coming.
That, you know, I don't understand what I got muted for, but I'm going to ask a question. We have all these people here, and everything's up for interpretation. Who did Moses go to with those commandments?
He went to the children of Israel. He went to the freed slaves.
Exactly. No other nation of people. Nation is race. Not that you said you were an American. If you're out of America,
nation is not race. Let me stop
nation,
you there.
According to the Bible, nation
is race.
Well,
we don't live
race.
By the Bible law.
Well, that's some of us.
Wake up.
And you're right. That's some of us. And I'm just asking questions. You said you were an American. What do you have in common with Amerigo Vespucci, other than saying that you part of his name?
He was 500 years ago, and he was a figurehead. That's a ridiculous question.
Asked you a question. I don't have anything to do with that.
I don't even know that much about him to know that I have anything in common with him.
This land was named after that man.
Right. I know who he is, but I don't know
right.
what I have in
so
common
my,
with
my
him.
My thing is this. That didn't make your nation. You had a nation when your foreparents is the nation that you came from. And if I'm correct, there's only 18 families in the Bible, 18 nations. And you are a part of one of those nations. Now, every white person is a part of one nation, Edom. And I'm not saying anything against anybody. I am telling the truth. That is one of the problems. People don't like to hear the truth. There's not an interpretation.
It's not the truth. This is a biblical definition of what a nation is and what a country is. And I would say 95, probably even 98% of the public doesn't accept this. So it may be the truth to you, but it's not widely accepted.
Well, that's fine, and that's why two thirds ain't gonna make it anyway. So
you don't
you're
know.
Right.
Nobody knows what's gonna happen. Nobody can predict the future. Not me. Not you. Not
you. Okay.
Though.
Not you. You run. You scared Negro. Scared no girl. He gonna run. Run no girl.
Man, uh-oh. Run from what?
Run
None
where?
Of you know what's going to happen in the
all
future.
Right.
None of
yeah,
us know.
Yeah, put me and Wesley in the green room. Because
go ahead, let him have it out. This is
not the green room. Shut up, the green room. This is all I know from last week. Yeah, put us in the green room.
Lo said it's time to go a few rounds.
Yeah, this is falling over from last week. I told you last week. You said on this show that you were in Omega Psi Phi. That's what you said before.
No, I did not say that.
Nah,
you're
he must
wrong
be a Kappa. He's a Kappa. He said his organization was founded in Indiana. The only
okay.
ones who are founded in Indiana is
well,
the Kappas.
All right. Well, they are in the green room. So
can I go?
We're not going to worry about
can I go and listen? Can I go and listen?
You go listen. No. Let me bring another call in. No, Hammers, can you go
listen?
Room? No.
Oh, man.
No. 111, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right.
I'm doing fine. Michael, how are you?
I think that's all facts.
Yeah, greetings.
Yeah. I was listening to y'all all show. Y'all have a nice show. You know, we were y'all talking about the Bible, civilization, mankind, who's the real Israelites. You have to ask yourself, where do you think, or below, or anybody think, where did civilization started? If you say civilization started in Africa, the whole Bible is X'd out. You can't even go to it, never again. See, even in the Bible, the people who wrote the Bible, right, their story, actually, if you do your research, Genesis
was
not the first book written of the Bible. Right. Exodus was the first book that the quote-unquote whoever wrote that Bible, the Torah, and the real name before the Torah, I don't know if N2K came up with pronunciation, but it was called the Tithe. It wasn't even called the Torah. But if you go on your archaeology research, right, if you say that the civilization started in Africa, you can't believe in the Bible.
Oh, dear.
It knocks it all down. So which timetable are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the civilization? The Bible says it started in the Garden of Eden, up in Iraq, the Mediterranean. Or are you going to believe the other archaeologists' facts that it started in Ethiopia, the southern end, I mean, the top end of the Nile?
See, there's a difference, Mike. You know there's a difference? There's a difference from when man first became Homo sapiens from the other creatures that he was, and he was standing erect, and he was able to think and process more. That man existed, but he wasn't necessarily civilized, okay? That man was very primitive. That man hunted by day and feared the night.
But Mr. Beasley, he referred to Ethiopia, and some of the oldest Christian churches known in history are in Ethiopia.
That's true. I'm talking about the time period between the dawn of man and to where man into all the years that it took for man to develop into someone that was writing.
But Michael was talking about the beginning of civilization. He said you couldn't use the Bible.
Both of you missed what I'm talking about. Hold on. I just want to explain myself and make myself clear. If you believe in the Bible from Genesis, the world is only about 6,000 years old.
Well,
if you just do the math, if you started from the creation, the Moses age, from all those ages, they give you a timeline. That's why we have B.C., A.D. It goes from the Bible, right? If you go on that calendar. I'm just saying that's what they say, Nagoni. I'm not saying that I believe that as a fact. But what I'm saying is, if you go to archaeologists' facts, and if you go down to Ethiopia, when you said the start of mankind, whether you want to call them Homo sapiens or not, those creatures that came out of Ethiopia, they migrated and they made us who we are now. So is it
over thousands of years,
they migrated. That you cannot separate our civilization from that civilization that we first walked. So we're talking about the first man, Adam and Eve, or we're talking about Homo sapiens. And I'm letting you know which one.
Well,
so
you're right. The stories don't mix.
Right, one story we have fossils, we have bones, and the other story from the Bible, we have no tombs, we have no bones, we have no fossils. So, you know, you have people that believe that man was created from Iraq, the Mesopotamians, and then you have the contradictions, and everyone want to say, well, you know what, everyone was born in Ethiopia. I have to look at the facts. It can't be Mesopotamian Iraq. It has to be Ethiopia. The oldest fossil was found in Ethiopia. So that X's out the whole Bible. That's a fact.
Does it X out the whole Bible?
It does. Because the Bible is on the wrong timeline since the whole assembly. The Bible doesn't go millions of years ago.
It might discredit the story of Adam and Eve as a literal story. But it doesn't discredit the entire Bible.
It does because the timeline is off.
Well, Michael,
there were other dynasties when the Bible was written. According to that scripture, you know about the pre-dynastic and the the dynastic period. There were made civilizations was even here on Earth before that.
That's if the Bible is held to a strict literal interpretation. Been,
you know what, Michael? I hear what you're saying. They have their own version of the scriptures, and I don't know how to read it. You know, I think it's in, I forget how you pronounce the name of the language that it's written in. But the thing that I have a problem with scriptures. Yeah, thank you. The thing that I have a problem with the scriptures, I believe there's truth in there, but the problem I have is there's 18 books missing because they've been revised and edited out.
Well, yeah, you were. Yes, well, I see. One thing that's going, you got to realize is that only thing I'm saying is, if you look at Genesis, you're saying this is where the world created, and they give you dates, how timelines on how old the age the world is. If you follow, you look, they give you years, how old Adam was, how old Moses was. So that's how people count that, and they say the Earth is around 6,200 years old. That totally goes against Ethiopian history, the fossils.
Can I ask, and this is in regards to what All Facts is saying. So from an archaeological perspective, and, you know, it's been years since I studied any of this, and that was only in school. So somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't we go from Cro-Magnon to Neanderthal to Homo sapien,
right,
to an actual cognitive, what we call today, human being?
There also a missing link between the Neanderthal and the Homo sapien?
Yes.
We're it,
yes,
they
we're
say.
It. Yes.
Hey, we're the missing link.
Right, and
no,
the reason why,
no.
Go ahead.
No, we're Homo sapiens.
Pardon me?
Yeah, we're Homo sapiens, but we're not actually genetically linked to the Neanderthals. There is a missing link in there that doesn't.
They
right.
say we're the missing
it's
link because they mess with the genetics and created us, that we're hybrids.
It's like we just appeared. That's how it looks from
right.
The reason
I brought that up is just based on what we're talking about, because now the conversation has morphed from what we were talking about earlier to religion to archaeology. And see, this is the beauty, and that might be the wrong word, but that's what I want to use. This is the beauty of religion, because religion – and it doesn't matter what religion you are. It's
right.
Based
it answers
on,
all those questions.
It doesn't answer them. It's based
yeah.
on you have to believe.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're talking about anything in the science field, paleontology, archaeology, all of those things, that's based on what you're actually discovering and unearthing. And you're able to draw a timeline.
I agree with you.
And this is why religion works.
Without asking them. Right. They don't
have
to get
this is why religion works so well. Because if I can get you to believe something, I already know what you think.
Yeah.
If I get you to believe something, I know that you won't think.
Or if you are thinking, I already know what it is anyway. It's a zero-sum game. So that's the importance of religion, which is why it has been with us for so many thousands of years, which is, and like Ngone was saying earlier, why so much of it is subjected to interpretation. Because I challenge anybody. If you study religion and then parallel that with actual historical facts, things become very revealing to you over
right.
the same time period. You don't have to go back further, like All Facts were saying, well, you know, Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal, that goes back, what, 50,000, 100,000 years?
No, I'm not even
years?
Talking about...
No, but I'm saying you don't even have to do that. You can just start with the Bible and then do your historical studies from that point. You'll find out a lot.
Plus years.
You'll find out a lot.
See, what I'm saying, though, N2K, what I'm saying is if you use the Bible as a historical record that they say, you're going to add up and see how old the earth is. And what I'm saying is factual information says that the earth is older than that. And what I'm saying, y'all talking about the Homanic and it's a missing piece. It ain't no missing piece. The oldest fossil was found in Ethiopia.
And as we can clearly see, those people in Ethiopia, the top of the Nile, the southern part of the Nile, which is the top, they migrated up. That group of people that we're talking about, there's no separation between us and them now. And I'm letting you know, that group of people migrated up, and that group of people started to, that is the civilization. The only way to describe or the meaning of a civilization is because you can measure their materials, their culture, what they had. That's the only thing you're doing. And I'm letting you know, all along the aisle, there's many, many thousands of civilizations before we're talking about up in northern part, which is the bottom part of the Nile, up in ancient Egypt. There's many cultures at the bottom. So I'm letting you know now, there's the timelines are wrong. Which one is fact and which one is bullshit?
Well, let me ask you this.
That's all
I
want to
ask you. The original fossils that they found, who did they belong to? To a Neanderthal, a Cro-Magnon, Homo habilis, or Homo sapien? Who did they belong to?
Well, Lucy, what about Lucy? It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
The structure is human. It's more human-like. It's more human-like us. The oldest fossil found is more human-like us.
So human-like how? Human-like, human-like a Neanderthal
okay,
was hunched over. Was hunched over. His knuckles dragged on the ground. He had hair over most of his body, and he
was not hunched over. Lucy was not hunched over.
Mr.
What I'm saying is, irregardless of that form, you see, y'all talking about the structure, the body form. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where the people started.
No, the body form is the mind form. There's characteristics of each of these structures as they became a Homo sapiens.
As they were evolving, they still moved and traveled. They walked up north, and I'm saying to people, you cannot separate it from us now. That's all I'm saying. You can talk about
I think what Michelle was alluding to, and Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong. What she was saying, all facts, is that when we look at that timeline, this historical timeline where you have the Cro-Magnon, you have the Neanderthal, then you have the Homo sapien, I think what she was saying was between the Neanderthal and the Homo sapien, there was like this, something got X'd out. There's a connection there that didn't get tied together. Is that what you were saying, Michelle?
Yes.
Based on what they've found, in terms of archaeology and fossils and things like that, they can't make the connection like they can with all the other, people. And what they're saying, according to what they've found, it looks like the Homo sapiens just appeared from nowhere, sort of thing.
Out of nowhere.
Can you say Anunnaki?
No. No, that's wrong. Where did they say the Homo sapiens come from?
There's all kinds of possibilities.
Where's the oldest Homo sapiens found from? I guarantee it's in Africa. That is my subject. It's not in Mesopotamia. I'm letting you know.
They might have found Neanderthal bones in Ethiopia.
See, you're talking. Listen, you. I'm talking about the. I'm talking
okay,
about the
gentlemen.
You're talking about
gentlemen.
The archaeology and the anthropology, the body and the fossils. I'm talking about the place. Y'all keep on going about the shape of the body. I'm talking about the
Mike,
location
you just
of
don't
the
know
body.
The difference between a Homo sapien and Neanderthal and a Cro-Magnon.
Yes, I do. It's more human.
No, you don't.
Listen.
Why?
Okay. Because it's more human. Like Homo sapiens, bro, what are you talking about?
Can I try and rephrase what Mike is saying?
I'm talking about the place where mankind is civilized. I'm saying where. You saying what? I'm saying where. I'm
good
asking
luck
where.
With that,
you keep on saying what?
I think I know what Mike is trying
okay.
to say. Can
now,
I just
as
try
I was
and
saying
rephrase?
Before. Mm-hmm.
I think what
go ahead,
Mike
Michelle.
Is trying to say. Yeah, sure. I think what Mike is trying to say, now, Mike, I'm sorry if I get it wrong, but I think what he's saying is that we were arguing, or somebody was making the point before that, African or black people is the original something about the Bible. I can't remember exactly, but I think what Mike is saying is that we all sort of came from the same pool of people. So regardless of whether, you know, we're white or black, Asian or whatever, I think what he's trying to say is that our origins are actually in Africa, that we all came from that same genetic pool of people. So it sort of makes no difference what our current race is in terms of, you know, what we look like on the outside, but we're all linked genetically back to that same origin of people. Is that what you're trying to say, Mike?
I think you got it right, but why don't we go into overtime and give Mike another 45 minutes to explain it?
Whatever. Anyway, let me bring Elvira in. Elvira's been waiting patiently. I ain't listening to y'all no more. Go ahead, Elvira. You on the air.
No, since you all were talking about Christians, I was sitting here thinking about the things that the Christians are guilty of, how they're going around with this chemical spray spraying people, and we're victims of these people. And I mean, how do you stop it? I mean, what do you do? You know, that's what I was thinking about when you first started this conversation, talking about Christianity. Okay, thank you for listening.
Okay, you're welcome.
Hey, Mr. Talk, can I say something?
How do you stop it? Yeah, I mean, yes, ma'am.
I just want to say to all those who have religious beliefs, Christians, or whatever your faith is, that I respect your beliefs. I may not agree, but I certainly hope no one was offended by anything that I have said or the laughter that I've had on the show, because I saw some comments out there in the chat room, so I just want to make sure you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, and I meant no harm. It's just
all right.
How these people get away with it.
No, I don't think you did, Miss Elvira. I just wanted to, you know,
Can I take a crack at that for you, Elvira?
That's a big lie.
I think the problem is, and this was talked about earlier in the show, and I put a comment in the chat room by Chancellor Williams III, who wrote the book Destruction of the Black Civilization. I think the date he used was from 4500 BC to 10,000 AD. Yeah, mm-hmm. Something like that. And one of the things that stuck out to me in that book, which is chock full of information, he made a comment, and one of the things that he learned, because it took him 15 years to write the book, and one of the things that he learned while he was doing his research was that the way that you keep a people from advancing is you keep them moving. Because that way they don't have time to stop and think and plan and figure things out. Now, the reason I bring that up, look at our society today and how people rush around all day long. They get up, get ready for work, go to work, get off work, jump in the car. You know, either they got kids in daycare they got to go rush and get because you don't want to be late. You got to pay that dollar a minute if you're late. I'm always saying that because I know, and that was back in the 90s. There's probably more now. And you're always rushing to get somewhere. And then once you get home, you're rushing to relax. You're rushing to eat dinner. If you have children, you got to get them fed, get them bathed, get them into bed so that you can rush and go to bed and start the whole process over again the very next day. And it becomes cyclical. So when you're talking about the spraying and all the things that go on in these shows, when we look at our society in totality, how many of us really have or make the time to make sure that we understand that these things are going on, that as a collective, we're actually voicing our opinions and doing something about them? you got way too many people who are spending too much time just trying to get from day to day to day. And that's it.
Good point. One second. I need to tell Mr. Talk that we got some information in the chat room. There's a lot of distortion back on the line. Mr. Talk, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Mr. Talk, are you there?
Somebody got a bad line. You right.
A lot of distortion is gone.
Well, nobody. Yeah, it's gone now. It was here before and it came back. I didn't know if he was aware of it.
Yes, I was hearing it, but
okay.
I couldn't figure out what it was. So it was somebody's line, I think. But okay.
I want to make a comment to Ms. Elvira on what she's saying about what they're doing to folks. They only getting away with this for a season. They time right up. So you just be strong, Ms. Elvira, because these wicked folk, they 6,000-year rule is about up. So they're doing all they can to take the righteous folks that's waking up down to hell with them, and so we're not going. So you just be strong, my sister.
Hell yeah. No, we won't.
All right, y'all. What we gonna do? Okay, hold on. We 30 minutes past time, so we gonna have to end the show right here. But of course, we can pick this up again tomorrow if y'all would like. All right, who's got the radio on? That's where the distortion is coming from. Somebody had a radio on.
Volume is up on there. Yeah. Feedback, isn't it?
I got feedback. Yes. Okay. Anyway, we're going to end the show right here. Oh, man, like I said, we can pick this up again tomorrow if y'all would like, among other things. Yes, I think I will make tomorrow more open conversation just to see if we can work our way through this and get on something else. Ah, that sounds like a plan. What you think about that, co-host?
I think that sounds like a good idea. I really enjoyed the dialogue and conversation. The discussion was very interesting.
Yeah, today was real good. It's controlled, but eventually it'll get out of control. I think it's a good idea just to send the people that combat, just let them go work it out in the green room.
Well, all I got to say is
that's what I do. That's what
everybody on this line is smart, man. So it's up to us to get out of here and be part of the 144,000 real soldiers to inform the regular people what's going on, man.
And each and every one
of us know what's going on right now. And so when it all boils down, it's going to be on us, because the Most High going to say, damn, y'all didn't tell the folks what's going on. And so it's going to be on us. And I damn sure ain't going to get nobody blood on my hands. So I'm telling everybody I know what is the information I'm getting. So that's what we can do, man. We got to be freedom fighters on our own way to save our folk, man.
Amen. All right.
I've done my part on
BTR.
I'm not going to talk about this stuff.
When you out there with the juice, man, you make sure you tell the juice, man, what the real juice going to be happening, man.
No, it's not my job to save the world.
No, you just tell them what's going on, man. You just tell them what's going on with effing technology. You ain't got to save them. You just let them know what's going on, man.
When they wake them up, I don't even really like
juice, man. You ready to push your fat head? You ready to tell them that wasn't him?
All right, y'all about to go into the green room.
No. We just have a different way that we're going
to
go about it.
That's up to you, man.
All right.
Like you said.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't feel bad.
Bleep, bleep, bleep. That's all, folks.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'm going to do it like this so we can get up out of here. All right, y'all. Once again, I want to thank everybody who participated in the show. We don't have time for last words today because we're running late. Of course, only one gets the last word. Two people get the last word today, me and my co-host. That's right, because we deserve it. But I want to thank everybody for joining us today. And tomorrow's show is going to be open conversation also. Of course, same time, 2 p.m. Central, then 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. So, Sister Ngoni,
yes,
my
sir.
Beautiful co-host, what are your last words?
I just want to thank everybody for coming and say bye-bye and look forward to tomorrow's discussion.
All right. I want to give a special shout out to Ms.
Divinely Purple, RPM1, and we had someone else in there, too, that was a first-time visitor. But thank y'all for coming. Hope you come back and you enjoyed the show.
Did you see Truth Will Out, my sister friend from Detroit, Sister Ottawa? Oh. I think this is her first time.
Oh, yeah, I wish she called in tomorrow. She must be gone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I hope so also. Yeah, she's gone. Well, tell her I said thank you.
Well.
But once again, we want to thank y'all very much for supporting us, because you all appreciate it, that's for sure. And like I always say, I learn as much from y'all as y'all learn listening to the show. So it's definitely a two-way street. So a lot of times when I'm quiet, that means I'm writing a lot of stuff down or looking at some things y'all have mentioned already. So don't think I'm not here. A lot of times I be here. Okay? All right. Well, my final say for the day is, just like I started the show, I'm going to say it again. You can't fix stupid. I mean, you can't. You know? And, you know, Wesley says, well, just keep telling. Wesley's like this. You can't fix stupid, because some people just not going to open up that much to hear what you have to say. Hey,
and I
want to
chime in by saying,
you know what I mean?
Said
it's
this,
on them.
Excuse me, Mr. Talk. I didn't hear you speaking.
Okay.
I just wanted to chime in with what I said when we opened the show is, you can't fix stupid, but you can fix ignorant, because ignorant means to not know. So all you have to do is inform yourself, and then you can fix ignorant.
That's it. All right. Well, we're going to get on out of here, y'all. Tomorrow's song, man, I guarantee it's going to have y'all dancing. I promise it's going to make you dance tomorrow. And it's just going to be one song, but I guarantee this one song is going to have you moving. I promise you that one. All right, y'all. Well, we're going to roll on out of here now. So y'all have a good one. Enjoy the rest of your evening. We are gone.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
yes or no. Got a category, my own, and I'm the president. Don't be alarmed, but I'm sewing up the resident. Where's my particular, style particular, extracurricular, smoother and trippy. Throwing up lyrics like a throw up a flapjack. You're a chicken McNugget, and I'm a Big Mac. Brain smack soloist, having Coca-Cola with. Doing very well, cause I took the right road to this path. Make the undertaker, wreck the breaker. Get up on the floor, do the heavy shaker. Started with the power, and I'ma end it with a bang. Bang.
Hands, everybody, if you got what it takes.
My little drugs wet to sweat. In the corner, people sitting down, they had as much as they could possibly get. Meanwhile, I'm lamping, feeling like a champion. Push up on a cutie phone, see this, I'm stamped. I'm the place, I'm packed though, stuffed like an Oreo. Everybody broke for a heavy deep video, pumping in stereo. People said, here we go, a cutie down in front, said, heavy, you're my hero. Understand this, before you make a comment, there's always a meaning in a heavy deep statement. In this life, I strive for improvement. Be your own God, follow your own movement. Love is a legend, me, I'm legendary at it. Flipping on the mic makes me a rapping acrobat. Don't try to swing, cause you couldn't even hang. We got our own thing.
Clap your hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the breaks. Breaks on a bus, breaks on a car, breaks to make you a superstar. Breaks to win and breaks to lose, but these here breaks will rock your shoes. And these are the breaks. Break it up, break it up, break it up. Another man,
that's a break, that's a break.
And she runs off with him to Japan,
that's a break, that's a break.
And the IRS says they want a cat,
that's a break, that's a break.
And she can't explain why you claimed your cat,
that's a break, that's a break.
And Ma Bell sends you a whopping bill,
that's a break, that's a break.
With 18 phone calls to Brazil,
that's a break, that's a break.
And you borrowed money from the mob. Lost your job.
That's a break.
Well, these are the breaks. Break it up, break it up, break it up.